I'm rather organized person, and on my day off, which is my Tuesday usually, Monday and Thursday, but on Tuesday, I run around, do my errand. And I go to Tucson and meet people, and a couple of times a month, I do them right along with the sheriff department deputies and join the, I'm an official water boy for the SWAT team training. It's not like they let me do anything there. And then picking up my laundries and doing that kind of things. So if you look at my palm in this thing on the daily planner on Tuesday, it's a field to do things. It tells I have a plan for what to do, when to do, why, what I need to do, all of that in here. The thing is, our Lord doesn't work with me about my plan. He's a very, you know, thoughtless, in my opinion, for that kind of thing. He cares, it's not like he cares about them. I need to do something and he walks around with me. And also, he's not the least bit concerned about my plan for the future either. Because obviously he has something way better to bring glory to himself, not something that satisfies myself, self-centered, and plan of mine. Keep your finger right where you are, the 17th, and let's go to the second, Jeremiah chapter 29. Where is Jeremiah? Right after? Right before? Right before? Lamentations. Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you guys already know where I'm going with that thing. This is a memory verse we are going to memorize, and it's good for you when you're down and out and you're in the dumpster, depression of dumpster. This is a memory verse that will pull you out from that muck and mires. For I know that the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. This is NIV translation. If you have a New King James, it's a little bit different. I prefer that NIV translation is going easier for me. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future. I'm going to repeat it one more time. For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord, the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plan to give you hope and the future. Again, something you want to memorize. Out of blue, we find ourselves reading the story about this prophet named Elijah. We don't know the genealogy of this man quite well. His name is perfect fit for his character. It says that Jehovah is my God. That means Elijah, in Hebrew word, E-L-L is God. Okay? So, like a Daniel, that kind of thing, you will know that a lot of Israeli name has L. That they try to, you know, included God's name in their name. It means the Lord Jehovah is my God. I say that Elijah is the most unique person and he's been quoted by Jesus himself frequently. God used this man to warn the nation, to warn the wicked king, and try to teach them about the following God's way instead of following the idol worshiping. He tried to warn the king, King Jezebel and her husband. No, I read it means the other way around, right? So, to be used by God mightily, Elijah had to go through a certain period of training time. 3 years in the wilderness, in the place where he least expected to be there. Just like Apostle Paul was in the Arabian desert before his three missionary journey, he was in the Arabian desert all by himself, tutored by the Jesus Christ himself. There is a time we must go through before we get used by God. So if you're going through the wilderness training, don't refuse it. Don't fight against it. Let's face it, don't give me that holy look and like you never go through that thing. And when you're going through that wilderness training, don't fight against God. and ask God to teach me everything that I should learn. And then you can come out of that place faster. If you fight and kick and, you know, complain, guess what? He just extended that training period until you get it. If you don't get it, guess what happened? You stay there. So it's better for you to just surrender to Him and follow Him. So we'll pick up this verse from, I said it's chapter 17. We'll go a few verses back to the chapter 16, verse 29. Chapter 16, verse 29. And we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You desiring to be guided by You. We don't want to do the things that we want to do. Rather, we want to do what You want us to do. Let our heart be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we may be guided by You. Like Your Word says in Psalm, let us be guided by Your eyes, because we know Your heart so intimately. Chisel the rough things out of our heart, and sharpen the corners, that we may be aligned with You, to know You, to seek You, to find You, to follow You. Teach us, our hearts open. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 29. In the 38th year of the Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of the Omri, became the king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been trivial things for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. Also notice this, Ethbaal, E-T-H-B-A-A-L. This is a pagan king, and they like to follow their God's name, so Baal is attached to the S there. So you will see this kind of thing quite often. Kings of Sidonian. And he went and served Baal, worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Verse 34. Now here's the important thing. In the days of Hiel of the Bethel built Jericho. Note their word. And underline next sentence, please. He laid its foundation with Abraham, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. King Ahab was known as the most wicked king, and more wicked than Jeroboam and all the other kings previously. In addition to that, he married to this most wicked woman, Hillary Clinton. No, I meant Jezebel. Just slip of tongue, right? And he married to this woman who brought the full-blown Baal worship into the kingdom. And then the kingdom is already going down the drain in a spiral, but she just made the matter worse. She was a famous idolatry, cruelty, sorcery, and filthiness. I have not seen any mom and dad name their daughters Jezebel. That's a very good thing. She is not something to model after. I ask you to underline verse 34. It seems that Ahab wants to challenge the Lord God, the prophecy of Joshua after the destruction of the city Jericho. Let's go to, keep your finger right there, Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. Where is Joshua? After Deuteronomy, right before Judges. 6:26. Okay, then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, the curse be the man before the Lord who rise up and build the city, this city, Jericho. Am I going too fast? You got it? The Joshua 6:26? Okay. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with the youngest he shall set up its gate. Guess what? It's exactly that's what happened. God spoke this about through this prophecy through his faithful servant Joshua. And you know, I don't know if something happened to their son, the son here, Hiel, but in my opinion, I'm not making a theology out of it, I'm not making a doctrine out of this, but I wouldn't be one bit surprised if the Hiel literally did a child sacrifice, because there was a custom of this occult practice. They literally do this sacrifice child at the foundation when they built the gate. It was literally uncommon for them to bury a live child in the foundation. And archaeologists found those things. So, God's prophecy comes true every single time. And these people try to mess with God. So here's my advice for you. Don't mess with God. Forget the taxes. Don't mess with God. It's not good for your health. Next verse 1 of chapter 17. Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, and said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew or rain this year except at my word. In other words, unless he pray, no rain. The Jewish people depends on the seasonal rain for the success of their crops. If the Lord doesn't send the early rain in October and November time, and the latter rain in March and April, they were not going to get any crops or the harvest. But however, this blessing of the semi-annual rains depends on the people's obedience. According to Deuteronomy chapter 11, the land belongs to God, heaven belongs to God, so it's up to him to give him a blessing. When the people don't follow God's direction, he simply don't give it to them. If they obey the covenant of God, and God would give it to them. Since they didn't, God warned them, they didn't listen, and so God is holding back the rain for 3.5 years, for a long time. Think about it with me, please. In my opinion, this is a kind of dramatic power demonstration. What did Baal standing for? Baal was a god, a so-called god of weather. He's a god of harvest. So he's the one who gives, supposedly, according to pagan religion, he's the one who gives the rain, he's the one who give the good weather, and so that they can have a good harvest. God says, no more rain. It's kind of my paraphrase. God says, okay, Baal, since you are supposedly god of weather, give your best shot while I'm holding this rain back against these people. Okay? And since you are worshiping God, why don't you go back at your God? See if he can bring the rain for you. This is a great preview of what we are going to learn in chapter 18. And there are going to be a rumble on the Mount Carmel. We are going to see that. Let's move down to verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward, hide by the brook Kereth, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the raven to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Kereth, which flowed into the Jordan. And ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. He drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that brook dried up. Note the word after a while brook dried up. Would you underline that, please? We're going to come back and study that portion. Because there had been no rain in the land. It sounds like a logical result. Now, after Elijah has delivered his powerful message to the Ahab and Jezebel, God told him to hightail out of there and go to this brook Kereth, which is the east side of Jordan River, and he's out there so that he cannot be harmed by this mad king. Besides, Ahab wants to kill the messenger because he didn't like the message he heard. And this is the training period for the Elijah. This is the training period. Some commentators said that he stayed there for one full year before he went to the other place. Now, escape to the brook Kereth was more than a protection. It was also to train Elijah in dependence upon the Lord. In the season of drought, he had to trust God to keep God could keep this brook flowing. He also had to accept food from raven, an unclean animal. Those who come to the church on Sunday morning early, you will see the ravens. They're at school. Some of you have seen it. From beak to tail, they're about a year long. Their bodies are about that thick. They are so heavy, and they don't know the meaning of diet. They have to kind of pull, 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 and then it takes a while for them to get the, lift up. Anyway, until they get the aerodynamic lift, they had to go about a good 10 feet to flap around. They're that kind of animals. They're heavy. They're big animals, birds. But I've never seen them eating the clean food. And they're not going for the, gourmet food. They're always digging. They rather do the dumpster diving. They prefer the roadkill, exactly like Mark says, his favorite food. And also they like to eat garbage food, the rotten meat. Now, this is completely against Jewish good prophets' mindset. He had to depend on, God says, you go over there, raven will bring the food to you. He was completely helpless. He had to depend on the brook that comes from the mountaintop, and he had to depend on that water. He had to depend on the raven to bring the food morning and evening. Folks, this is an important thing. God's provision, God provides us what we need, right? Not want, in spite of an impossible situation, according to His promise. Another memory verse that we are going to memorize. Our God will provide all our needs according to His riches and glory. Let's not forget that. Do the certain change of Elijah's life sound familiar to you? You were doing fine. Everything was going well. Everything was going, seems like working out according to your plan. Seems like there's no roadblock. There's no hindrance. Out of blue, your brook dried up. Some of you might have heard that, heard the sound from your ex-spouser. I'm leaving you. I don't want to be married to you anymore. Or some of you heard and your doctor says you have that horrible capital C word. You have a cancer. Or you fill in the blank. Or how about this? I'm sorry to say we are going to downsize. We're going to can you. How about this? The one whom you trust betrayed you. All of a sudden, your brook dried up. What happened? Why? And the first thing we say is one word, three letters. Why? Why, God? Why are you doing this to me? Actually, that might be the whole new beginning. Sometimes we are so comfortable that we don't no longer look to God. Sometimes we are so comfortable, we are so used to with certain things that we don't look to the giver. We are so familiar with the gift. We are so familiar with our own surrounding, we become gods. So God says, okay, I'm going to dry up your brook so you can depend on me. When God closed the door, one door, he opens another. I'm sure you heard this before. Elijah is about to discover this. In fact, God is preparing him. God was getting him ready, and step by step, challenge by challenge, the big things were coming, and next phase about to start. This is the same for us. Sometimes we really don't want to move to the next place because it's unknown. We are comfortable here. You know, you all heard that word, comfort zone. We are comfortable there. Why should we try something new? Sometimes God shoves us out the door. If door has closed in your life, don't think that God is done with you. You need to just trust Him. He may be getting you ready for the phase 2, or 3, or 4, or 5. He may be whipping you into shape for something beyond your wildest dream. I don't know about you guys, the Bible index memory, Bible verse memory. Some of you may not think it's a big thing, but to me it's a big thing. I have an excitement because I want the people to accomplish something they have never tried before. A lot of Christians don't have a focused idea what the Bible index 66 books are. And they don't know where to find them. Or they never memorize the verses and they get conquered by the evil time after time. But when you put the word in your heart, you will have the zeal, you will have the passion for the word. And when the enemy attacks, that word will come, stand in the gap and will start to protect you. Because the word is Jesus. Word, Jesus will stand for you. That's why I'm so excited about these memory verses. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath. This particular word is most interesting to me because in Korean word, there's no Z, there's no R, there's no PH, there's no TH. Except V. V for Victor. There's every word that Korean people cannot pronounce. So I practiced many times, Zarephath, there. Which belongs to Sidon, and dwelt there, and see, I have commanded the widow there to provide for you. Note the word widow, please. Also, remember what we studied in the last time in the book of Luke, the widow with the two mites. And what did I say about the widow during that time? They are rich people, right? Loaded with the life insurance from their past hubby. No. They are the poorest people. Where was I? Widow. Verse 10. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city. Indeed, a widow was there the gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, note the word, Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in the bin and a little oil in the jar. See, I am gathering the couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Sounds desperate, doesn't it? Verse 13, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from its from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bean of your flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of the oil run dry, till the day that the Lord send the rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elisha, she and he and her household ate for many days. The bean of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elisha. The Lord commanded Elijah to travel northeast from the Brook Kereth, and he was moving northeast toward the region where Jezebel was lived there. This is, in other words, this is enemy territory. This is non-believer's territory, heart of the enemy territory. In addition to that, he was instructed to live in the widow's home there. Depends on what the widow will provide for him. As I said before, the widows are the most neediest people during the time. Remember, Jesus said about this thing. When he was rejected by his own people, people of Nazareth, he quoted this very verse. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke is located in New Testament before John, and right after Mark. Good. See how good you are? Luke chapter 4. I'm confusing people. Luke chapter 4, 24. My wife gave me that look. No, your look doesn't count. My wife's look counts. She gave me that look. I'm so dead. Yeah, that's the problem. Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you," Jesus speaking, "no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when heaven was shut up the 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land, to none of them was Elijah sent, except Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." This is the one God was talking about. Why did God change Elijah's training location from Brook Kereth to Zarephath? In my opinion, guys, I believe I'm correct. Because of our proneness to look at the gift, forget the gift giver. Lord frequently changed his method of supply to keep our eyes fixed on him, not on the gift we receive from him. We need to keep our eyes on God, not the things that we get from him. Do you agree? This poor widow was about to prepare their last meal and starve to death. And this man, out of blue, he showed up. She doesn't know him from Adam. She showed up and said, "Give me some water and then give me your food that she's preparing for them to have as the last meal." What kind of audacity, what kind of absurd thing for this man to say? It sounds like something that you would hear from the TV evangelist, self-centered fundraising gimmick. "Send me your money so I can live high in the hog and drive Mercedes Benz while you don't have a vehicle to drive around." It sounds like that, but remember, God told Elijah, "I command a woman to take care of you." So he was simply depending on what God already said. And the thing is, this woman, she doesn't know him. She doesn't know anything about the God of Israel. But somehow she took it as is. The Lord led Elijah once the better time. listen to me. God didn't take Elijah to Brook Kereth until Elijah gave a message to King Ahab. You with me? It didn't happen until God didn't take him to Zarephath, to widow's home, until brook was dried up. So Elijah had to literally depend on God one step at a time. If you're like me, I like to plan ahead. I don't like surprise. Yeah, I like surprise, you know, birthday gift, that's okay. But I don't like surprise that comes, take me to go to a different direction. But God wants us to wait upon Him. He wants us to wait upon Him, not depending on our capability, His way. I know that I have a plan for you. Remember Jeremiah 29:11? His plan. His way is higher than ours, as heaven is higher than ours. So we need to depend on Him. God led Elijah by faith, one step at a time. Elijah followed Him in faith. Now, put the pen down, put the paper down, put everything down, look at me. I know, it's not good sight, but look at me. Here's a $50,000 question. I love her. Here's a $50,000 question. Let's say you're a Christian counselor. Let's say you're a pastor. Let's say you're an important person in the church. And here comes a godly man. Godly man come to you, want to talk to you. He says, "Hey, pastor, hey, counselor, I found a great deal. I can move into this home upstairs. Rent is really cheap. She even provided food. She's a widow with a young child. Don't you think it's a great deal for me to move in?" What would you say? It's a man. I said a he. A man. So, if I were the counselor, if I were the pastor of him, I was the bonk slap on the back of him. He said, "Get with it, boy. Its appearance of evil is bad. You should be above reproach. What do you think you're doing?" Right? Let's back off. Look at chapter 17. Elijah moved into the upper room of widow. And she is with a child, so I can tell pretty much she's somewhere in between 20 to 50s. How old is Elijah? Within that range? Is that good? Come and talk back to me. Come and talk. No. What if this godly guy said, "Well, what about the Elijah, man? That's a biblical ground for me to move in. It's a good deal."
That was before Jesus came.
No, that doesn't count. Okay, number one. This is my opinion. Well, that's okay. Number one. I would say you are not Elijah. Number two. You are not told by God to do this. There was a reason. There's a three reasons I see for the God to send Elijah to this woman. Not only to train Elijah, also to bring her to the saving knowledge of God, of Israel. And also, the way I see it is to keep her family alive and to show kindness to her to show kindness of God through Elijah. Let's go back. Number one, the man is not Elijah. Number two, he's not instructed by God. Again, we still have to go by it says in the book of New Testament. See, this thing is still above reproach. It's best not to do it. It's appearance of evil. Okay? Let's move on to verse 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of a woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of his arm and carried him to the upper room where he was staying. By reading this portion, this son cannot be that big, right? For him to carry to the upper room, if he was like a 20-some years old, you know, still living with the mom, he really cannot carry him that easily. Verse 20, then he cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, my God, have you also brought the tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray that let the child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, See, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is the truth. The first recorded the instance of the resuscitation. I don't call it resurrection because resurrection is changing body component completely different. In my opinion, this is the resuscitation of the dead man. This person was not swooned. This person was not unconscious. This person was completely dead. There was no breath left in him, according to the Bible, and his soul left from him. And God is the only one who can bring the soul back to the person. This death would be the double blow to the mother. Not only the losing the child, but also she was losing the earthly hope that she had on him. Since it was the Lord who brought Elijah to this home, Elijah brought this boy to the Lord and asking God to take care of it. Some tried to explain that this might be Elijah lying down on top of this boy three times. Maybe that was his way of doing CPR. Well, I don't think so. During these 3 years in exile, as a hunted man, Elijah learned a great deal about the Lord and about himself, about needy people. And he has learned to live day at a time, one step at a time, depending on God each day. But the Lord is more concerned about the worker than the work. And he has been preparing Elijah for the greatest challenge of faith in his entire ministry. That we are going to see the highlight of Elijah's ministry in the next chapter. In my opinion, First Kings, the highlight of the First King would be this chapter 18. Let's make an application. Number one, some of you think that your application is so too simple. Well, if it's that simple, do it, right? If we do the application, we learn, we would be such a godly people. We don't have to worry about what other people say. The Lord provides for us what we need in spite of an impossible situation according to His promise. Second application. When God closed one door, He opens another door. We need to trust His sovereign will for us and obey His guidance. Let me ask you this. Does God know everything? Yes? No? Anyone says no? Everybody agrees that God knows best, then we need to depend on Him. There is a time that we said, God, my brook is dried up. What does it mean? He's closing one door, starting another door. Why? We don't know. That's where the sovereign will of God comes in. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. And we are asking you to let your word come alive throughout the week. And help us depend on you when the time is difficult, when we don't understand. Remind us of the study, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.